Welcome to the Community Mennonite Church Podcast. Today we have a sermon by Pastor Jennifer Davis Sensenig.
Heart-thrilling joy is a theme to which the prophet Isaiah returns again and again. We heard from Isaiah 60, "Then you shall see and be radiant, your heart shall thrill and rejoice." In Isaiah, joy is one of seven signs that God's future is breaking into the present. According to the prophet, if God has anything to do with our life, then along with deliverance and God's presence with us, justice, peace, healing, and forgiveness, joy is something that we ought to expect in life. And though we may suffer, as the church at times, we make a point of joyful worship. Epiphany, the crown of the Christmas season, celebrates the overflow of joy we feel that Jesus was born. Visiting this humble family after a long journey, the Magi bestowed gifts worthy of a king on baby Jesus. And the Bible says that these travelers from the east who worshiped the child were overwhelmed with joy. May it be so among us. I remember someone asking me as their pastor about joy, wondering if it would ever return. Wondering whether joy was even possible in this life. Life has a way of crowding out the small joys that come our way, and the greater joys can be missed entirely. There were few who visited the baby Jesus 2,000 years ago. Matthew mentions only these star-guided magi. Maybe we would have missed this great joy too if we had been living in Bethlehem at the time. God's word to us in Isaiah 60 and in the story of the Magi's visit to baby Jesus reminds us of the joy in our lives today. Maybe the birds at the feeder, the laughter of children, the satisfaction of work we really care about, whether it's paid or unpaid. Our deep response to beauty, art or music or the sky or the face of someone we love. Sometimes joy is marked by tears, so my spiritual director reminds me now and again to notice when I'm so moved as to tear up. Joy emerges when we're engaged in things we find most meaningful in life. Sometimes people make thoughtful distinctions between happiness and joy, but at least in the Bible, there's not really a big difference. Joy is a gift from God that we should expect. When their guiding star finally stopped and their search was rewarded, the Magi were overwhelmed with joy. But as the Gospel of Matthew tells it, not only joy, but all the emotions surrounding Jesus' birth were just over the top. Before this joy spills over, King Herod the Great and the whole city of Jerusalem were full of fear that a rival king would threaten their leader. Then, when the Magi depart by another road, King Herod realizes that he was tricked and becomes furious. Herod moves from fear to fury in a matter of days, though under certain circumstances, such an emotional shift can take place in a split second and triggers are pulled. The gospel story also records the cries of families who lost children in Herod's massacre, joining their cries to those of Mother Rachel's historic lament over her beloved tribes of Israel lost in exile. Even Jesus' adoptive father, Joseph, ever guided by divine messages in his dreams, was afraid when he first returned from Egypt. Fear, joy, fury, grief, if we cannot accept the full range of human emotions, it's going to be tough to hear God's word in Scripture. The Gospels aren't emotionally gushy on the whole, but through Jesus' arrival, God does something new and unprecedented in world history, and this provokes a huge emotional response from every corner. The refugee father Joseph, the Jewish king Herod, the strange magi from the east, the grieving mothers of Israel, and the whole city of Jerusalem. If you'd been there, you'd have been a hot mess too. Now, many of us have spent time recently with extended family to celebrate Christmas and the New Year. Holidays together or apart can be emotionally overwhelming. There is hopeful anticipation of reunion, followed by disappointment when we don't connect as we wish to. There may be tender love shared across the generations, but there may also be painful conflict and broken relationships. There is happy delight when the perfect gifts are exchanged, and there's self-centered anger over imperfect gifts and imperfect givers. The absence of persons who were once in a family circle is felt deeply during celebrations. We're grieving or lonely. So think of that person who teared up or just broke down and cried at your family gathering, the adult or the child, the senior citizen or the adolescent. They may have just been offering themselves as the emotional release valve for the whole family while others sort of held it together emotionally. For some of us, being overwhelmed by joy is a pretty foreign concept. We're more familiar with being overwhelmed by anxiety or fear or grief or anger or disappointment. As people of faith, we believe that amidst all this emotional swirl, there is an epiphany, an insight, a spiritual aha to be had. In the Bible, the Easterners who journeyed by starlight to find a newborn king represent powers of the nations. The Magi are elite scholars, the brightest and best students of ancient culture and wisdom. I suppose they could have been Jews still living in Babylon who came to find the new king of Israel, but we usually assume they were foreigners, Gentiles of the nations, who had added some of the Hebrew prophets to their libraries when they rubbed shoulders with Jews brought captive to Babylon, modern-day Iraq. At least one of the points of this nativity story in Matthew's gospel is that the smart, sophisticated, leading folks of the ancient world submitted themselves to Jesus Christ and recognized him as God's Messiah, not just for Israel, but for all people. Their journey ends in joy and sharing their gifts, sponsoring Jesus' mission in its infancy. Besides the Magi, though, there were other powers in this story. King Herod rejects Jesus, wages a campaign against him, harms children, and destroys lives. Herod both missed the great joy when Jesus was born and then opposed him. Perhaps Herod represents for us established religion that has forgotten its prophetic impulse, power that maintains itself and is willing to sacrifice vulnerable people. Yet a third power in this Christmas story is Egypt. Jesus and his parents, displaced by violence because their home country was not a safe place, flee to a foreign country, to Egypt. It's not lost on us that Egypt, the great empire that once enslaved Jesus' ancestors, becomes the family's place of refuge. It's almost like a literary redemption of Egypt's slaveholding past. I love that. You know, the Magi seem all good, and Herod seems all bad, but Egypt is that country changing, embracing the refugee, receiving Jesus, making a safe society. Perhaps Epiphany and a new year is a time to take stock not only of our emotions, but our responses nationally to the message of Jesus. How will we respond this year? Like the Magi, with a search, with joyful worship, with a generous offering of our gifts to sponsor Jesus' mission? Will we respond like Herod, missing the joy that has come our way, or shoring up our own security at the expense of others? Will we respond like Egypt, accepting an opportunity to be redeemed, to make amends, and care for those in need? The second verse of How Brightly Beams the Morning Star ends with this line: Now, though daily earth's deep sadness may perplex us and distress us, yet with heavenly joy you bless us. Perhaps this past week, hearing the news in your family, our country, or in the world, you've been in touch with earth's deep sadness. Our Bible doesn't paper over the horrors of human life. Just days after Christmas, we read about a king's crimes against his own people. But the scriptural epiphany is that amidst the world's distress is one who reorients us toward God's future, like a beautiful and compelling star in the night sky, or like a refugee family that has arrived in our community with basic needs and a story to share. I'm sure you noticed that this whole story of Jesus' birth, the visit from the Magi, the flight to Egypt, and the return to make a home in Nazareth, takes place during a time of political transition. The brutal reign of King Herod ends, and his son takes over. According to Matthew, the new regime is still a threat to Jesus, and so the Holy Family stays on the fringes of society until Jesus goes public in baptism and accepts God's future for his own life, the life of his nation, and for the world. In recent weeks, you may have heard the African-American Christmas spiritual, See Dat Babe. I heard it here in worship during Advent and also at the Our Community Place Christmas concert. More so than many carols, this spiritual reveals the emotional palette that is authentic to Matthew's Christmas story. See Dat Babe is in a minor key, and we hear in it both the pain and the persistence of those who have struggled or are struggling on the edges of society. And yet, each stanza of the song ends with one of these days. The song celebrates Jesus with joy as the one who's gonna take away sin, as the one who brings peace to a weary land, as the one who is rejected yet is still king. That is the true power in the world today. And if today is discouraging, one of these days, our joy and our neighbor's joy will be full. As Isaiah says, then you shall see and be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and rejoice. Even when something in the big world or something in our personal world is terrible, worship is a celebration of who God is. And if we're the least bit susceptible in worship, joy may overwhelm us. This new year and this Epiphany season, God brings joy. We hope that as Community Mennonite Church, the sometimes elusive joy of life can be discovered again. Like the Magi, our life journey has purpose, and offering our gifts to honor Jesus Christ and sponsor God's mission in the world is an act of joyful worship. Like Egypt, even nations that have opposed God's signs of the future, deliverance and God's presence with us, and justice and peace and healing and forgiveness and joy, even nations like these can make amends, change their course, and be redeemed. It begins with people like us who will journey by Christ light to that place where our deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet.
Thank you for listening to the Community Mennonite Church podcast. Our theme music is a setting of John Wesley's text, Jesus, I Believe You're Near, composed by Matt Carlson. Jeremy Nafziger arranged it for strings. To learn more about our congregation or to plan a visit, please check out our website at cmcva.org.